Please take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter wanted to warn his readers. He'd been told to feed the sheep. My desire is to feed the sheep, to teach you the Word of God. But let me ask you, when you go to Golden Corral, do you eat everything that's there? Now, if you go into this Golden Corral and you find yourself a place to sit, so you go in and you find your seat and the waitress comes and she says, what do you have to drink? Or I guess you already know what you're having to drink. And she marks your paper and you go and get a plate. Now, it can be orange or blue or green. Do you have a preference on what color you get? You want a green plate, did someone say? I like the green plate. But you can go way over to the left where the salad is. I don't know why you bother, but that, you know, you're at Golden Corral, but you can make the best salad in the world, right? And you can go back and eat it. And a little bit later, you can go over and you get a little bit of Mexican food and you can enjoy that. And after that, you get the best pot roast around with potatoes and onions. Am I making you hungry, Dr. Fleming? I think you already talked about being hungry. You wanted some dessert, if I remember correctly. And we'll get to the dessert here in just a moment. You can get some chicken, and they have usually fried chicken and the roasted. Am I saying that right? Broasted chicken. And that's good. You can get a little hamburger maybe if it's at lunchtime, or if it's at dinner time, you can get a steak that's grilled. And just don't get it raw, Rudy. You can get pizza, the rolls. Some people will think they're supposed to humor them and eat the Brussels sprouts, but you know, they put those out just so that you don't take them. We have someone right here that agrees that they're good. I live with someone like that. Laura, you think that? How many of you like Brussels sprouts? Come on, be honest about it. Glory, we're having a prayer service tonight. You probably all like lima beans too, don't you? Oh, I'm losing my appetite. And you get the rolls. And then there's the dessert way over on the right, Dr. Fleming. And you can get chocolate cake, or you can get the blue, cotton candy. You can get the ice cream or cream, what do they call it? It's not ice cream, it's soft serve, yes. And you can throw all kinds of things on. There's a lot of different choices that you make, correct? When you go in there and you pay your money and you enjoy the Golden Corral. Now, someone told me last week they had never been to the Golden Corral. Who was that? Told me that, right here. Have you been there yet? You didn't go this week. Okay, well, anyways, should she go to the Golden Corral? Is there any no's in the auditorium? I see a no. Okay, there's one objecting to it. She probably had Brussels sprouts. But it's your choice, isn't it? So when the preacher comes and he tells you to turn to 1 Peter, and this will be the concluding lesson on 1 Peter, it's your choice what you listen to, right? Some of you are going to read your bulletin and you're going to say, I hope he gets done really quick, and I will be done really quick. But the fact of the matter, it's your choice to what you listen to. And Peter is trying to instruct them and warn them on how to live a godly life. And he has some key thoughts. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And in a moment, we'll get to chapter 5. But verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Are you looking forward to the appearing of Jesus Christ? Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, as a believer in Christ, there should be a joy in your heart. I'm not saying everything's going to be good. But there is a joy that this life is only for a short period of time. And there's a better time coming. This same chapter, verses 18 through 20, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." What was through the precious blood of Christ? Your redemption, your salvation. "But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, what was manifested or shown in these last times for you." He's telling them that this is what happened, that there is suffering still ahead. But know this, that Christ died for you. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. Chapter 2, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Chapter 3, verse 11. Peter says to the readers, "Let him eschew evil." What's it mean to eschew? To stay away from. "Let him eschew evil and do what? Do good." You think it's good to do good? Yes, do good. Do good. Chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Don't be surprised if you go through a difficult time in your life where you are being persecuted for your faith. The Lord is pleased when we will stand up, even if it causes us suffering, because we are willing to stand for Him. Gentlemen, if your wife ever says to you, "Would you die for me?" Don't hesitate. Immediately say yes. Hesitation is not a good thing. Are you willing to die for Christ? We find that we need to be willing to make a stand in these dark days. As our nation and as our world drifts further and further from the teaching of the Word of God, it goes continually into darkness and chaos. And there's people searching for peace. And the Prince of Peace is the one still standing saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest." Would you please stand as we pray, read now from 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth what? The proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And do you do, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Can I hear an amen there? He careth for you. He loves you. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you provide. Give us strength, Lord, in these days to be a lighthouse for you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We find in a couple of these verses that we are to be humble, being subject one to another and clothed with humility. That is not an easy thing to do. But we are to love one another. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble, and that he will exalt us at a later time. We find in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, praying that the Lord's will be done. Folks, that is the prayer that never fails. Thy will be done. Would you agree with that statement? That prayer never fails. Thy will be done. Would you believe that sometimes I've told God how to do things? And I always look what afterwards? Go ahead. Foolish. That's being kind. You could have used the stupid word, but you didn't. Thank you. See, we think we're smarter than God. We think that God isn't working fast enough. But we need to put things into God's hands, and we need to put our cares upon him. We need to realize that God knows. And we need to go to him with our prayers and say, Lord, I don't know if I can handle this, but I know you can handle this. You can take care of things. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. But then cometh probably the most alarming verse in the Epistle of Peter. It's a warning. And it was not only a warning to these people around 60 AD, it's a warning for us in 2017. How many of you can't believe we're already in October? I mean, Friday the 13th, I didn't even hear anybody talk about it. I think it caught people by surprise. But the fact of the matter is we're already to the 15th of October. And Christmas is right around the corner. The year is flying by. But here we find it. In this verse, it says, be sober. It means be alert. Be on guard. We have an enemy. Don't ever think that we don't have an enemy. We have an enemy. And he goes by different names. He's called the deceiver. He is a liar. The Bible calls him the father of liars. He is called Lucifer. He is called Satan. He is called the devil. He is our enemy. And his demons are constantly at work. And may I say this? There may be some in here right now. There may be some demons in here right now that are trying to distract you. That are trying to take you away from what is necessary and make you think of other things. It says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, don't just do it for a while. Keep at it. Watch what's going on. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, that one that wants to bring you down, that one, he is as a roaring lion walking about. It says here, walketh about seeking what? Whom he may devour. One thing I've learned in the 40 plus years that I've worked here at the Covenant Baptist Church is that I have seen many a person fall to Satan. I've seen the lost fall and I've seen the saved fall because they were not on guard and they fell into his traps. And Satan doesn't release people easily. he hopes to devour you. I read this the other day. We need to respect him. He is dangerous. He is dangerous. Richard Ford, who used to attend our church here, once said that electricity is our friend if we respect it. I remember I was helping a man working in an attic at an attic. His family member was wanting to do some renovations in the building and in their house. And so he and I went up into the attic, and he says, "We got to move this wire." And he looked at me and he says, "I don't know if it's live or not." He says, "You need to back up a little bit." And he cut through this wire with a jackknife. It was live. It knocked a hunk out of his jackknife. It zingled. Is zingled a word? It zapped him. He's shaking his arm and saying, "Oh, that felt good." You need to respect electricity. Never try to fight the devil in your own way. Resist him as the Lord did with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Jesus Christ, when tempted by Satan, quoted scriptures. And to quote scriptures, you have to what? You have to know them. Know the scriptures. They are your friends. We need to recognize him. He is a pretender. John says that there is no truth in him, for he is a liar. Let me tell you this, Satan is a liar. And he is alive and well today, and he is lying to our society. One of the lies is that you don't need God. Another one is that we are here by pure chance. Another is this, that you just want to have fun, and morality is something that was 200 years ago, and you can live any way you want to. He is lying to us over and over and over again. But remember, he is a liar. He is a subtle foe. So if he's not rushing at us full tilt, he's coming in very softly. Remember this, that his strategy is to counterfeit whatever God does. If I were to tell you that there are literally hundreds of churches and houses of worship today that are counterfeiting the Word of God, would you be surprised? No. They're in Sterling Heights and Utica and Shelby and Clinton Township and Macomb Township. And in the surrounding areas, there are places of worship today that are Satan influenced. And they're using the Word of God to deceive people. That's why you need to read the Word. And you need to know it. His desire is to disrupt good. He wants to disrupt good. If things are going too good at your home and you're serving the Lord with passion and you're desiring to go to church and you're desiring to hear the Word of God, don't be surprised if he starts throwing things in your way to try to, what shall we say, stop you. When I was a member of the New York Avenue Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas during my Bible days there in college, the New York Avenue Baptist Church had been growing by leaps and bounds. And we saw great things happening. And Pastor Alvarez one Sunday got up and he said, "This is when Satan is going to attack. He's going to attack." And attack he did. And I've told you that today there is no New York Avenue Baptist Church. It split and split again. a pastor committed suicide. There was time in which Satan crept in and people destroyed that church. See, Satan's desire is to disrupt anything that is good. And he wants to disrupt your relationship with the Lord. You do want to have a good relationship with the Lord, don't you? Hello? You do want to serve him faithfully. I think that all of us should want to be on the top 100 most hated by Satan. Hello? Right? Don't you want to be on that list? Most hated by Satan? That he can't stand you? That he wants to bring you down? But be careful if you're on that list. You know what he's doing? He's trying to find your soft spot. He's trying to find that spot that will make you turn away from the Lord. He is our enemy. He will come from many different directions. The better we know God's word, the keener our spiritual senses will be to deflect the devil at his work. We need to resist him. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. We need to resist him. Don't invite him into your house. Ephesians 6 tells us that we are to stand, that we are to withstand, and having done all, to stand. We're to stand for the cause of Christ. We are to resist him. Our protection is in the complete armor of God. Our weapons are the word of God. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that now dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Line up to be used of the Lord. Submit yourself. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Resist him. So if I say resist him, who is the only one that I can make sure resists him? Me, right? And you have to do the same. We must resist him. Resist him. Let's stand together, if you would, please. As we have this invitation time, I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk. I don't know what's happening in your spiritual walk when you walk away from this building. But you have to determine what you're going to accept when the Word of God is preached. You have to decide if you're going to give your life to the Lord. It's your decision. It's your responsibility. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now in this invitation time that, Lord, maybe there is someone here today that has never accepted Thee as Savior. Lord, we'd be glad to show them how they can come to know Thee. Or, Lord, maybe there's one here that accepted You many years ago but has drifted away. Lord, we know that You welcome them home even as the prodigal son was welcomed home by his dad. Lord, we pray now that You would help us to remain strong, not to be deceived, to cast all our cares upon You, and to stand near You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.